All right. Omobolaji is my name. Omobolaji Ayedogun. So you could call me Omo.
What about Dr. Omo?
All right, good. That's fine.
You earn that doctorate. Let's be proud of it. And so Dr. Omo, I like that. That's both formal but also personal.
Thank you. Thank you. So how have you been? It's been awesome, catching up and getting to meet you today. I'm so honored to have you on Voice of Haven podcast. And
Well, it's
thanks to Omotola Adegoke for connecting us. He did a good job. He's
I
actually my
agree.
mentor here. He's my mentor,
Yeah.
having to jump on a podcast and tell myself, oh, I want to start doing something for business owners, CEOs. I just said, okay, so where do I start from? I must start from somewhere unique. And I'm really happy I'm here and I'm
Good.
happy to have you here. So
Oh,
welcome
my pleasure.
once again to Voice of Haven, where leaders breathe again. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. Looking forward to our conversation today.
Yes. Wow, awesome. So basically, Voice of Haven have decided that it is good for leaders to have their voices again. It is good for them to breathe again. It is good for them to have this wholeness and wholesomeness in everything they do. And a lot of them pull back because of so many issues we have. So you're welcome once again.
My pleasure. My pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So we're going to start by, I will start by asking, who is Jones Laughlin? Who is he? I'm
Sure.
eager to know, and I believe the listeners are really eager to know. I know a lot of people know but
Right. Well, who I am is that I am a spouse to Lisa for 35 plus years. I am a dad of two amazing daughters. I have one really cool son-in-law with another one coming on board next March. My younger daughter is getting married. And I'll also be in January become a grandpa. I know I look much too young, but no, I will be a grandfather in January, and I'm excited about that. That's who I am. What I do is I am an author and speaker and trainer, and my goal is to help people make the best choices with their time so they can thrive in the ways that are important to them. So that's a little bit about me.
wow, awesome. So congratulations on every side
Thank you. Thank you.
for everything. Congratulations, a big one to you. And I'm so happy to be here. It's a blessing for me to hear that the wonderful things you've just said. So welcome once again. All
Thank you.
right, so looking at leadership, everybody talks about leadership. Everybody says, oh, leadership is this, leadership is that. What is leadership to you?
Leadership to me is growing yourself, your team, the people you lead, and growing the organization in the ways that are important to all of them. In other words, you're growing yourself in a way that is meaningful to you. Your team members are growing. They're getting better at the things they do. And ultimately, if you do those two things, then your organization, your company, your small business should indeed grow in the ways that you want it to, if you do those first two things.
That's getting to understand self-leadership. You being able to lead yourself. And I like the fact that you connected three dots together: yourself, the team, and the organization. And before the organization can grow, the team has to grow. And before the team can grow, you as an individual have to grow. All right, awesome. Awesome. I really, really love that. All right, I can see a bee behind you.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what is the link, the connect, the
Sure.
connection between this bee and what you do? I want
Sure.
to know.
Sure. Of course, I mentioned at the beginning, I am an author and I've written several books. And my latest one, that's fact, that's why I typically dress this way, is about how to improve your focus using the world of honeybees. My daughter Sydney and I are beekeepers. And in fact, the book that we wrote is called Focused as a Bee. And if you'll notice, the bee on the cover that my daughter designed, that's the same one on the wall. She actually painted that. I told her, I said, when I'm doing podcasts or virtual sessions, it would be nice to have the bee to point to and to make a real nice backdrop. And so that's the idea there, is that we need to be as focused as a honeybee, not busy as a bee. Because that's what we often say, is that bees are busy. And of course, leaders would say, oh yeah, I'm so busy as a leader. But busy implies a lot of activity. But it doesn't necessarily mean we're doing the things that are going to grow us as leaders, grow our team, and grow the organization. So we need to be focused as a bee, and we learn from the bees how to do that.
Awesome. Love that. And looking at the bee, I never took my mind towards the aspect of it being focused. And as you were saying it, I something dropped, on my mind. And what dropped is being focused as a leader helps you to connect with your inner self. That is the child in you in every phase of life. So, as leaders, how do we connect easily with ourselves so that we can bring out the best we really want using the ideology of the bee?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind, and we talk about in the book about the idea of permissions. You've got to give yourself certain permissions to be focused. And I think this is true whether you're a leader, you're an individual contributor, whatever role you play within your company. But you've got to give yourself permission to prioritize. You've got to prioritize the work that only you can do as a leader. Dr. Olmo, that so often leaders will get caught up thinking they've got to fix problems all day. They've got to be immediately available to everybody on their team. And they do need to be available, but if they're so available to everyone else, and if they spend their day fixing problems, they're not investing the time to grow themselves. They're not working on those things that are going to make them a more effective leader for their team. And so they've got to prioritize themselves. And that doesn't mean that all day long you're saying, oh, I'm the priority, not my team. It means that you choose times during the day or during the week. You protect those times where you're going to study, to do research, to just to stop and think. Your whole podcast is about giving leaders room to breathe and to think. And leaders don't do that because they're just so busy thinking they got to be doing stuff, when the reality is they need to prioritize that time away from the rush, the busyness, to think about, how do I want to grow myself? How is my team doing? What do they need from me right now, so that we can all grow the business?
Thank you, Lord. What do my team need from me right now? And I think I'm going to have a good focus on the bee behind you because I'm just so attracted to that bee there. What is that thing that can break that limiting belief that most leaders have? Because if I'm a leader and I'm telling myself, that what do they need from me? It means I've gotten to a point whereby I believe in myself and I know what I'm doing. So what is that limiting belief that one needs to pull away and run from?
I think one of the limiting beliefs is the idea that you have to have all the answers. Leaders can get caught in that trap of thinking that they have to know exactly how to solve this problem or to help this team member. And I think those leaders who can be willing to say to themselves and sometimes to their team, I don't know the answer. Let's find it together. Or what do you think? What's your perspective? I'd like to hear your thoughts. So I think one of those limiting beliefs is the idea that they have to have all the answers. They don't. They need to be guiding and directing the team toward finding those answers, but they're not necessarily going to have all of those answers. So I think that's one of the limiting beliefs. The other one is, I think leaders can get overwhelmed with all they are trying to accomplish and just feel like they've got to be busy with activity because that gives them meaning. It gives them that sense of fulfillment. And I think they need to challenge themselves and say, what is most important for me to focus on today or this week? And that's where I think the work of a coach or finding someone who can be like a coach to you and to talk through some of these things with you as a leader is so important. Because as you know, Dr. Alma, we can get inside our head. And when we are forced to say it out loud, we go, ooh, that sounded different when I actually said it out loud. And then that person who's coaching us can say, what do you think about that? You know, what did you learn about yourself when you said that? So those are two limiting beliefs I think are important for leaders to address, if they're going to grow and be more effective.
Thank you so much for that. One key thing I picked from there just now is that I should make sure in everything I do, I should accept myself the way I am and not leave myself that way. Because at the end of the day, something pops up, who I eventually become and who they see when I get in front of them. Wow, I love that. Thank you for that. So, what does leadership awareness, what does it really mean to you personally in your journey? What does that really mean to you in your journey?
Leadership awareness. Did I hear you correctly with that? What is leadership awareness? I think leadership awareness is stopping yourself at any point and saying, how am I doing as a leader compared to last week or last month? But sometimes a week is not enough, but you need to have some distance there. How am I doing as a leader? You know, rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, you know, terrible, 10 being I'm perfect. And rating yourself to say, okay, if I gave myself a 6, why did I give myself that score? And what would I be doing differently if I'd given myself an 8? And breaking it down like that, I think, is so important because, as I said earlier, leaders can get overwhelmed, think there's 15 things that they need to focus on, and forcing yourself to say, how aware am I of how I'm doing? And then saying, what would being more effective look like? And using a number system forces you to make those small incremental changes versus feeling overwhelmed that I've got to completely change the way I lead. I think you can do some similar steps with your team. Think about if you've got 3 members of your team, if you're running a small team, if you've got a small team, and you can say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how's Dr. Omo performing? 1 to 10, okay, they're at a 6 or they're at a 5. How could my leadership help them perform at a level 7 or 8? And so I think you can do that with your team members. And then ultimately, you can go and look at the outcomes the organization is looking to achieve this month, this quarter, this year. Okay, based on the outcomes we're supposed to be achieving as a team, 1 to 10. Okay, it's a 4. Okay. Why did I give myself that number? And how can my leadership help raise that number to a 6 or to a 5? I just think that's all a part of. Excuse. I so apologize. But it's all the pollen the bees are bringing in. No, I'm kidding. But I think it's all about stopping yourself and evaluating yourself. And I think that's an informal way. 360 feedback, all those things are important, but I think it starts with yourself to see how you're doing.
What's with you? Everything starts with you. Because when it starts with you, it brings a whole lot of, success. And aside from that, it brings that awareness to be well known and seen by the person. All right. One wonderful thing I love that you do is that you often speak about helping individuals and organizations. And, it's such that you speak about this and what you really hit on or you stand on is grow the right things in everything they do. So what inspired this philosophy in you?
Sure. I've been an avid fan of growing, gardening, farming since I was probably 5 years old. My dad instilled that in me, and I enjoyed it. Just watching things grow. I just think it's an amazing process to see that. And so that's just part of my DNA. It's part of who I am. My background is a former horticulture teacher, and so it's just a part of my makeup. And I've been involved in training and development for years, and I like teaching from models or metaphors, if you will, because I think that helps people figure out where they are and how they can take a step forward. And I've always wanted to teach and train about growing, but I thought, how can I transfer that to a business principle like leadership or time management? And I heard Peter Singh, who a change management guru, once say, when it comes to leadership and leading change, we keep bringing in mechanics when what we need are gardeners. And of course, with my horticulture background, I went, oh, that's beautiful. And then I thought, that's powerful. And if you think about it for a moment, that is the way that many leaders, especially first-time leaders, approach the work they have is okay, I've got to solve this problem. I got to fix this issue. I've got to make this person stop doing this. That's fixing them and start doing this. And they don't really stop and say, what am I trying to create here? What am I trying to grow? What's the environment I can create as a leader that will help my people do their best work? So that's the journey for me. It's really been a lifelong one on this whole idea of growing and leadership.
That aspect of bringing in the gardeners, not the mechanics. A lot of times we try to fix each other, forgetting the fact that that's not the solution. All right, so have you ever had a funny experience whereby you were trying to fix people and the feedback you got actually took you back to the drawing board to make you start all over again? Have you ever had such experience? And what were the learnings from that experience?
Sure. I can think of several. I'm going to kind of generalize for a moment. I think for me, because I'm passionate about what I do, in the past, I have often wanted to tell someone, oh, you're doing it wrong, or you need to do this, or try this. And I realized, and this is whether it's my wife Lisa or I've been working with a team of people in a consulting role, is that people, I think, want to learn on their own. They want to feel like they have the answers within them, and they just haven't found it yet. And so Anytime, or not anytime, but almost anytime, I have given a directive to someone, try this, do this. Sometimes it's met with resistance. And so what I've learned is that asking that question, what are you trying to accomplish by doing this? What are you trying to achieve? I'm curious, great phrase. I'm curious, what have you tried already? Instead of just telling them, creates a learning moment for me to see where are they, what have they tried, what might be helpful. And it also helps that other person have a higher level of dignity and respect for me, because I'm not just saying, oh, I'm the expert here, you go do that. Instead, I'm saying, hey, let's look at this together. What have you tried? What are you trying to accomplish? Huh, I wonder what would happen if you tried this. And then they try that and they go, oh, it worked. You're a genius. I'm like, no. We figured it out together. And I think of that, what's that great African proverb? If you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go together. And I probably, your listeners will have to go look it up to make sure they get that one correct. But I think that's so true, is that too often we want to give out answers when that's not what people want. They want relationship. They want to find it for themselves. They want a guide, not a hero, in their organizations.
I really love what you just said. They want a guide, not the hero. I remember I once had this experience whereby I actually told a friend of mine, "Oh, I'm having a headache." And he was just like, "Yes, go take analgesic." And I was like, "That's not what I want from you." What I actually wanted was, "Oh, sorry about that." Or maybe like a pat on the back, So a lot of times we get our team members, we get them, into that position whereby they look at us and they're like, "Oh, I thought he was going to say this or say something better, or you could have done a lot better." And being able to, focus in this trend. How do you balance self-awareness and wholesomeness? I always ask myself that question. How do you balance it? Yes, I'm aware this is what I need to do. But on the other side, wholeness. Am I whole to this team? Am I actually doing it right? Like you said, putting ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10, where do we find ourselves? So how do we balance self-leadership, self-awareness, and wholeness?
And you're defining wholeness as I'm giving my best. Help me, Dr. Elmo, with your def what when you say wholeness, what do you mean by that?
Wholeness. You being able to give your best to
Ah, okay.
whoever you meet around you or is
Okay.
working with you.
That's a great question, and I'm not sure I'll be able to give a short answer to that one. I'm not going to give one that might even confuse myself if I went on long enough. When I think about self-awareness and wholeness, self-awareness is that first step, I think. And then once you have that self-awareness, then you can evaluate, am I giving my best to my team? And if the answer is no, then what is preventing me from doing that? And it can be anything from a skill that you haven't mastered. It could be the circumstances that are going on at work or in other parts of your life right now that are just, your 100% is going to look different on different days. Because we're not machines, we're human beings. And so I think it's that whole idea of, okay, this is being aware of what's going on and how I'm doing, and am I giving my best? I think it's two separate reflections, excuse me, but it starts with that self-awareness. And then if it, I have to say this. I think too, it's you got to give yourself grace as a leader. You are working an environment with imperfect people, with certain levels of uncertainty, And it's not going to be a straight line. That goes back to that mechanics mindset that I can take this thing, this widget, this part out, put another one in, and things are going to run smoothly. It doesn't work that way. It's more like a garden where I'm going to add this fertilizer, I'm going to give this water, and the plant may grow some, but if the temperature isn't right, if we have several cloudy days, all my efforts might not equal the same outcome. And so I think that's really important for leaders to reflect on that as they think about, am I giving my best? Am I working to the best of my ability to serve my team? And if they find that they are, but yet the results aren't quite what they want them to be, then they've got to say, well, what's out of my control and what's in my control? And focus on those things that are within your control instead of saying, I've got to figure it all out. No, that's not possible.
Wow. That's what you just said now got me, thinking. When you have the garden, because I like the mindset of the garden, the ideology of the garden, and at the end of the day, what do you find in a garden? You find growth. And if you don't see growth, you tend to go towards pruning. If you don't see the face of pruning, you tend to ask yourself, all right, should I pull it out and then plant again? And if this, I love this conversation because it's making me have a better idea about how you can bring life into your organization again. This brings burnout to a lot of people. When they don't feel the life, when they don't feel increase, when they don't feel anything, it brings burnout to people. And this thing we call burnout is, happens when there's no pruning done. I'm trying to use your terms now as a
You go, Dr. Omo. I love it.
gardener
Oh,
of you saying you want to prune, stuck to what we know. We get stuck to what we know. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Absolutely. You cut out on me there for a moment. So yes, you're back.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry about that. Okay,
That's okay.
so you want to get connected to a lot of things, but the most important thing is you're asking yourself, am I growing? Can I grow? Will I actually grow? Is it possible? Or should I just go back and start all over again? And pruning, in the face of pruning, a lot of us as individuals will run away from it because sometimes pruning can be painful because so many things are being cut off, so many things are being pulled out. So if you want to help me and my listeners understand how best to see pruning as an organization, as an individual, how do you want us to say it? How do you, what are you going to say to us?
Real short phrase. It's a question. Where do you need to cut back so you can grow forward?
Yes.
And now I'll open it up a little bit, but it really builds around that idea. Where do you need to cut back so you can grow forward? Where are you investing, whether it's an individual organization, time, energy, financial resources that aren't getting you the outcomes you want? What are those things that you're investing more time in than is getting you return on investment? For example, when I sometimes work with leaders and I'll say, how much time do you authentically need to be more effective in your role? And they'll say, well, that's a bad question. I'm like, no, tell me. And they'll say, oh, if I had an hour a week to think more about talent development. And it's fascinating how if we continue coaching sessions, we can find them an hour a week really easily because they need to prune time on social media, a time on not managing their email or their administrative tasks well, or doing some other things. They're cutting back in those areas, which opens up space in the garden, if you will, or it opens up space to grow something different. But until you're willing to stop and say, where am I investing time, money, and energy that's not helping me get to the outcomes we want? It's really hard to change activities as a leader. In fact, when I deliver the training, some people have told me before, they said, Jones, you need to start with pruning, because the four words in the model are grow, cultivate, prune, and harvest. And they'll say, you need to start with pruning. I'm like, I disagree. And they're like, no, Jones, that's we're busy and we need to learn that first. I'm like, no, you need to determine what you want to grow first. Then you got to determine how you're going to do that. That's cultivate. And then the third piece of that process, where are you going to cut back? Where are you going to make space in the garden to do that? I said, if we just started with pruning, you wouldn't be motivated, because you wouldn't have stopped to think, what am I trying to grow here? You'd just be pulling weeds for the sake of pulling weeds. You'd just be cutting back the apple tree to say, well, yeah, I need to spend less time here. But I said, the moment you say, hey, if I open up this space in my garden, oh, I can grow the most amazing begonias or turnips or kale or whatever it is. But until you've identified what it is you're trying to grow, pruning's not really motivating to you.
Giving room, identifying the room where the
And why
space
you
is.
want that room, why you need that room is so important.
Wow, interesting. I love this. This is you're awesome. You are
Well, thank you.
awesome, and I really love this. And so, looking at just what you just explained, having that room, knowing what you need in that room, or what you need to grow in that room. What is that one advice you're going to give our listeners that are experiencing burnout, that are experiencing a shift, and are just confused about the shift they're experiencing? What advice would you like to give to them so as to help them glide easily into the space or the room they have seen that they need to cultivate something there?
There's a question I ask in one of my presentations, and it's in your drive to get it all done. What's not getting done or not getting done well?
Well,
And that's where I have some participants start, because most of us can answer that question fairly easily and say, well, and like for me, if I say my drive to get it all done, what's not getting done well, for me in this current season, it would be some of my outbound marketing efforts, as a small business. It would be content creation for my next book. Those would be some of the things. For personally, I could say, it's the exercise, the physical exercise I should be getting, the cardio exercise I really need to get for my health. Those are things that aren't happening. Okay. Then I can, once I identify that, then I can start saying, how do I create the space for that? So if you're a burned out leader, let's take your example. You're somebody who's burned out in your organization. You've been pushing and pushing and pushing. If I were to ask that of somebody who's burned out, they might say to me, I'll tell you what's not getting done for me, Jones. It's time for me. I am working 50 and 60 hours a week. Whew, I'm just burned out. Time for me. That's not what's. And then I would ask the question, what would time for you look like? Oh, no, Jones, I don't know. It's been so long, I don't even know. No, I'm serious. What would time for you look like? And it's fascinating how people will say, if I just had 30 minutes to myself, alone, at some point during the day, because maybe they've got kids at home, maybe they've just got a really, busy, we'll use that word, they're live. And I'll say, okay, let's see if we can find you that 30 minutes for yourself. Would that be of value to you? Oh yeah, Jones, that would just really take a load off me. Okay, great. Let's go find that. So I think it starts with asking yourself a question that gives you the self-awareness, and then having a model or a framework or some other questions to help you take a step forward in that journey.
Well, yeah, that's more like you telling yourself it's not someone else that's coming to prune me. I think I need to prune myself in a way. Wow, awesome. Awesome. So, how can someone that starts, this self-leadership, start practicing self-leadership, how can they have, this right to be able to do the thing, the how can they have that right to be able to do what they are meant to do and give themselves that unique outcome in everything they are doing? How can this happen for them?
I think the conditions, let's talk about gardening, conditions, environment that are more likely to make that happen is if they are authentic in their approach to their leadership. They have to be true to themselves. And of course, the work of Brené Brown is, of course, in my mind, top shelf on this whole concept of being authentic in your leadership. And I'll tell you about an exercise that helped me. And I was just like, wow, I was blown away by how powerful it was. We often talk about values and what we value and how, we're going to bring that. We're going to bring that to work. We bring it to our families. We bring it to life. And when you ask someone, what are your values? What's important to you? People will stumble and they'll ramble around to, 10, 15, 20, they'll just, and it's like, no. If you had to distill it down to five, what would they be? And that's really hard. But in her book, Dare to Lead, Brené Brown does just that. She challenges you not to get it down to five, but to get it down to three. And once I did that exercise, I'm like, wow, that is what drives me. And how do I bring that to my leadership role to be effective? Because if I'm being my authentic self and I am, being the best version of myself and recognizing those areas where I'm weak or I need help, then we're more likely to get to the outcomes we want. It's the same with the program Clifton StrengthsFinders. Finding those strengths, leaning into those. How can I leverage those in my leadership? And if you are leading with those strengths, still recognizing, yeah, you got weaknesses, but how can I use my strengths to accomplish what's important to us as a team? Then I think you're more likely to accomplish what it is you're trying to do, as long as you are consistently self-aware. Going back to the example of gardening, gardeners don't go out and plant something and then go away and then come back and go, yes, it's time to harvest. They won't be able to find it. There'll be so many weeds. Gardeners know they've got to go check on the garden. They've got to go look and see how things are going and see what changes need to be made. And that goes back to what you've talked about so much during our time together, Dr. Omo, is it's that self-reflection, it's that self-awareness, which is such a key piece of that growth journey.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, my
Thank
pleasure.
you, because I'm so glad I'm able to connect. I'm able to visualize a garden and I'm seeing myself as one of the plants there. And something so deep that is ringing in me is growth. 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 And growth does not happen if at a point there will be a debt somewhere that you need some values that are
And it went away. Been a long time since we had an update.
Oh, wow.
You're back.
Yeah. That was a glitch. So he just took me up.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. I'm sure if you're going to edit it, you'll be able to, edit out. I stayed. I thought, yeah, she'll probably be back. So.
Thank you for staying. Thank you for staying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was actually trying to express something that you see different things happen. You're putting to death some things, some
Thank you.
value. Key things you need to do. What are those key things you need to do to put those things to death and not just force it to bring it back? Because that's one thing I see brings about burnout in leaders today. Some they have these values that, oh, it's been working for them, maybe in the place they were working before. Then at the end of the day, those values are not needed here. There are some nutrients you find in some soils that you don't need them for some particular sun or some particular plants rather, or seeds. So how can you as a person insist on putting those things away and tell yourself, no, these values are not needed here. I need to upgrade. I need to grow. I need to bring something new here and not live the way I've been doing it. So that's my question.
Sure. From an individual standpoint, I believe that our values are somewhat fixed. What we value as an individual, as a human being, I don't think that changes dramatically in our adult life. I mean, we certainly have circumstances and events and things happen that cause us to look at things differently. At the end of the day, I think many of our core values stay the same. I think when you look into an organization and if you say, hey, I value execution, you know, getting stuff done. This organization doesn't. I don't necessarily, you know, believe that you say, well, it's a mismatch. I think execution looks different. You know, how do I use this value that I have to help this organization accomplish its goals? What's important? Then I think maybe you, the values you bring are very different than what the organization has tended to value in the past, but it's looking to say, how can I help support the organization's growth with what I do bring to the table, what I do bring to the environment. And again, it goes back to stopping and asking yourself those questions. It starts even before you start to work with an organization. It starts in that interview when you say, you know, what would you say this team values or this company values? What's important? And once you have an idea of that, then you make the decision for yourself. Is this a place where I can grow and thrive, or is this a place where I'm going to, you know, struggle in some ways? Give you an example. My daughter, younger daughter, Sydney, is a creative. No question in my mind. She is a creative. She has had some different internships and positions, and the ones that didn't necessarily value creativity, she found some ways to be creative in the work that she was doing to find fulfillment. And also to continue to contribute to the organization in meaningful ways. And so I think it, you know, we've talked about this so many times today, Dr. Omo, is it all comes back to asking yourself the right questions, getting that clarity of who you are, how you want to be with your team, and how you can help the organization to grow. I think that's what it comes down to.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that. Thank you so much for that idea, that advice. Yes, I'll put it that way. Sometimes it is not that you should put to death that value. So it means you just need to know how. And is wanted at that moment. And in that environment, in that space, and in the organization. Thank you so much for that. And so, finally, how can our listeners connect with you and learn more about what you do? Because you're doing awesome
Well, thank you.
in your space.
Well, thank you, Dr. Omo. It's been a delight to be with you today. I, of course, listeners can go visit my website, joneslaughlin.com, and I know you'll in your show notes, you'll have a direct link there. One of the places that I really like to invest my time is on LinkedIn. And so if your listeners are on LinkedIn, that's a great place to go to learn more about some of the ideas and the principles of the things that I teach and train on. And so I would invite them to connect with me on LinkedIn, and certainly mention that that you heard me on Dr. Omo's podcast, so that I can celebrate that with them as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, what are some final words you would like to leave with the listeners?
We've been talking, of course, so much about leadership and, you know, about gardening and growing things today. Ray Kroc, who was the founder of McDonald's, an international company we are all aware of. Ray Kroc is quoted as saying, "When you're green, you grow, and when you're ripe, you rot." And I think that's true for any of us, whether it's in our leadership in corporations or businesses. I think it's true for leadership in our homes. I think it's true for leading ourselves, is that we always need to have that growing mindset, because the minute we think we've arrived, the minute we think that, hey, we're doing the best and we don't need to change, that's when things get pretty smelly, I think.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jones, for coming on here. And thank you for making us to understand that, like the bee, there should be a focus. We're going somewhere. We're headed
Absolutely.
somewhere. And telling ourselves we should focus, we should know that it is time to grow. And don't just sit where you are. Grow. Pull together your values. Every value is important, and you can creatively connect your values in different ways because your value matter with your organization, with yourself, to start with yourself, with your families, with your organizations, and with the world at large. You're all the way where you are. I'm all the way where I am, and we're connected. How? Because your values spoke something to me. Growth. Care. You have this care for individuals. You have this care for families, not only families, for organizations too. And this value actually pulled me and said, no, I think I'll go for Jones Laughlin. And I'll prefer to bring him here. So thank you
Thank you.
so much for coming on Voice of Haven. Thank you for feeding us with this wealth of growth, because that's what I would say. I'm happy I came into your garden today. And I'm
Same
happy.
here.
And I'm happy. Or should I let me rephrase that. I'm happy you came into Voice of Haven garden to tell us how we can grow and not just stay where we are, to
Absolutely.
help us understand how we can focus just like the honeybee. And this is the part I love. So that's the part I love so much, the bee behind you. I think I'm going to get one for myself too.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, it's been great to be with you today, and I look forward to connecting with your listeners and somewhere down the road.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank
Bye.
you. Once again, to our listeners, this is Voice of Haven, where leaders breathe again. It's okay to feel down. It's okay to feel, oh, my leaves are going down. But one thing you should tell yourself, it's time to prune yourself. Don't wait for someone to come prune you. It's time to prune yourself. And if you need someone to prune you, I think we have someone here. Jones Laughlin. He's going to help prune you and prune you well. Thank you so much. God bless you. And till we meet again, same time next week. Bye. Thank
Okay,
you.
so.